Real people,
real celebrities,
real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
ear.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Special guest in the building, friend to the room,
the legendary Bun B,
and Professor Anthony Penn.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure to be here.
This seems like a natural transition for the OG Bun B. They're launching a religion and hip-hop culture online course?
Yeah, we actually teach the course presently at Rice University, but this is an opportunity to take the conversation that we have in the classroom, outside of the classroom, which was always the intention that Doc and I had for this version of the course. Doc has actually been teaching a version of this for over 20 years.
Okay.
And I came into the mix over about 4 years ago.
Explain the course.
Doc, would you?
Well, it looks at the intersections between religion and hip-hop. We believe that there's lots of commonalities that we really need to explore, that both of these cultural developments have had huge impact over the course of human history. And if we don't wrestle with them, we do ourselves a disservice. So we look at the links between hip-hop and Christianity, the links between hip-hop and Islam, and then we look at the ways in which hip-hop in certain circles has actually replaced these religious traditions.
Well, you have give to explain, us some examples? Yeah. I need some solid examples.
All the religious folks mad saying that. My Islam ain't got nothing to do with no hip-hop. My Christianity ain't got nothing to do with no hip-hop.
Meek Mill's amen.
Well, if you take black churches, for example, there's always been a love-hate relationship between black churches and musical production. Begins with the blues. They have a hard time with gospel, so of course they're going to have a hard time with hip-hop. But as soon as Jay-Z says, you're in the presence of a king, scratch that, you're in the presence of God, it's a religious conversation that you got to have.
Mm-hmm. What about when Jay-Z said, Jesus can't save you, life starts when the church ends?
Again, you got to have a conversation about that. Now, folks in churches may not like that, but you got to have a conversation about it. So for me, this is long term. Right? I spent a good number of years as a Christian minister in the Methodist church, but a hip-hop fan. So trying to bring these two together in the context of the pulpit was part of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's not always pleasant, but in part, church folks and Muslims have to recognize that their traditions have not always been at the best. So rather than just pointing fingers, it's time to have a conversation.
So do you break down rap lyrics? Like if I said that line, y'all would break down what that means?
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's where I come in at, you know what I'm saying? And then I have my interpretation of what different artists or different, you know, people mean by when they say certain things. And then Doc has his interpretation, and we put it out for the class. And we have different students that have different interpretations of these things.
So can
well.
You give us an example of, like, a song or a lyric that you guys would break down?
The Jay-Z line, I would love to hear that. Like, Jesus can't save you, life starts when the church ends.
Well, I mean, that's basically his outlook on basically the neglect that the church has had for a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? And when we say the church, we don't necessarily mean Christianity. We talk about the church as, you know, the idea and the concept of church, which a lot of people have issues with in modern times, especially when we look at the millennials. The millennials, they're not running away from the church. You know, they're running to Christ. And a lot of people now in modern times don't really believe that they need to go to a church to get closer to Christ or God.
Got you. That's how I took the line. It was more like you don't have to be religious to be spiritual.
Absolutely. And that's definitely, you know, topics of conversation that we have during the basically the context of this course.
So y'all like a gospel rap genius, kind
of. I mean, look, the sole purpose of this course is not to sit around and break down rap lyrics. It's to define religion as a culture, define hip-hop as a culture, show the similarities between the two, and show the times where maybe they don't necessarily co-align and coexist with each other in the way that we would all like them to.
You got a degree or something. You like a doctor.
I don't have one day of college.
Yikes.
Wow.
I thought somebody gave you like an honorary doctorate or something. Like
no, they gave me a day.
Oh,
in use,
okay.
But they didn't give me no. Well, I don't know. Maybe I need to talk to Rice about that, Doc.
We'll have that conversation offline.
Now, why is it something you wanted to do, Doc?
Well, I've been teaching religion for 21 years, but I've been a fan of hip hop for much longer than that.
I don't know, y'all talking about God and a crazy man and the microphone.
let us pray.
So when I moved to Houston, it only made sense to try to be in touch with some of the artists that have influenced me over the years. So I had one of my students, Andrea Matthews, reach out to Bun. Mm-hmm. We had a phone conversation. I asked him to come in and lecture. And it benefited me. I wanted to hear what he had to say, but mm-hmm. my students definitely needed to hear what he had to say. We had a conversation in my office, and it was clear to us over a short period of time that he needed to have a more sustained presence on campus. So I asked if he'd be willing to co-teach the course for me. I thought that would be unique, that you'd have an academic who knows religion and is a hip-hop fan partnered with an artist who also knows religion. It's a conversation that wasn't taking place anywhere else.
How do y'all feel about Kanye calling himself Yeezus? I'm sure that'll come up.
Well, I mean, that has come up in the context of class. I mean, again, it's just, you know, this is not the first time that people within hip-hop have identified themselves with deities. You know, we talk about Hov, we talk about the concept of Tupac as a black Jesus, you know. So,
Charlamagne the God.
Hey, you know what? We may have to have that conversation now.
I'm kind of confused with the similarities because a lot of people would be upset with this course.
Of course.
A lot of people feel that hip-hop is not all positive and has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with Christianity or God or anything.
Because so you have an artist like Lecrae.
But unless you're talking about a Lecrae.
Well, no, not necessarily, because I think what a lot of people identify as hip-hop culture is really just rap music. Mm-hmm. Rap music is a part of hip-hop, but it's not all of what hip-hop encompasses. It is not always what hip-hop was started, you know, what hip-hop was created to represent, what hip-hop was created to do. You know what I'm saying? But there are a lot of great examples of great, you know, words and lyrics. And
give me some. This is what I want to hear now.
And then here's the thing. See, you think that, you're thinking that because I'm talking about a crazy subject matter that it can't be spiritual. And I understand that, you know, drawing that connotation, but you have to understand people are speaking to their struggles. You know what I'm saying? People are speaking to the truths and the lives and the environment in which they live in. Mm-hmm. And you have to really think about the fact that, I mean, think if Jesus was here today, where would Jesus be? Jesus would be trying to save these people that we think Jesus would condemn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about that, you know, a lot of people look at the industry as it's the devil's land. You know, it gives you a lot of money, it gives you fame, it gives you all of the things you necessarily want. But a lot of times you sell your soul. You're talking about the fame in women and.
But that's always been an issue that the church has had with music in general. It didn't start with hip hop. You know, the church had issues with gospel music in general, which is all about, you know, proclaiming your faith and your love for Christ and a higher power. Mm-hmm. The church couldn't accept that in its early days. So, of course, they wouldn't necessarily accept hip hop, you know. Mm-hmm. But we have to look at, you know, the questions and the way of life that hip hop tackles. And, you know, hip hop is a culture that, for me, it helps me become a better person.
I agree.
It helps me answer a lot of the heavy questions about life. Who am I? Why am I here? It helps me to struggle with the choices that I have to make in life. So tell me what's different between that and religion.
You also can't let churches off the hook, right? A whole lot of ministers don't say it explicitly, but their actions prove it. Pimping ain't easy, right? They're doing the same sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And if you think in terms of new developments in churches, the prosperity gospel, that's all about getting yours, right? So Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Eddie Longs, these
Pastor
sorts of
Mason
folks.
Pastor Mason Betha.
You know, so that similarity exists. We're too quick to assume that what churches say about themselves is accurate.
Right. No, I agree. I think church, a lot of churches are a big pimp game, and it feels like a lot of people do it for the money, not necessarily for the reason that they should be doing it.
Right.
And the music industry the same. But I just, it's kind of like, you know, some people don't drink this with this. It's kind of like I don't have my hip hop with my church. It just seems two totally different reasons. You know
I think
mean?
That means there's a problem with your church.
Well,
because I don't think it's a problem. I don't think you have a problem with your hip hop.
You know what you said earlier about a lot of millennials stay away from church? I feel the same way. Like, I have a relationship with God. I pray, I read the Bible, and
that's because church is square.
But
if church
feel like a way, like it feels like it's a business.
Well, that's
and
what
when
we
you go to more and more churches, no matter what church I've went to, it always feels like a business as opposed to really getting closer to God and trying to get yourself better and be a better man and be a better father and be a better husband and be a better person in your community. It seems like it's always a business first. And that's always my problem with most churches.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. We don't, you know, religion and church are two separate things. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, going to church is really just about the practices of being in the church and being in that church flock. It really doesn't. Going to church doesn't mean you're getting any closer to God. You know what I'm saying? In some instances, it may be you're following somebody that's pulling you away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to come to terms with your own personal struggle, your own personal choices as to who you want to be. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, hip-hop helps you to make these choices and helps you to make them in a better way. Now, when we talk about this, like I said, you know, people confuse rap songs with hip-hop culture, all right? That's rap music is a very, very small part of hip-hop culture. It's just the most dominant factor of it. It's the one that we see all the time.
It's the form of communication.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, but we have to learn to navigate this language in the same way that we have to learn to navigate the language of religion and find our way to, you know, better ourselves.
Now, do you guys touch on somebody like Mace, who people were up in arms when he was still rapping, but he was being a pastor?
Let's
and he
talk
was saying,
about Mace. That's
and they were
good,
saying
good
they were
example.
Saying there's a difference. He was saying there's a difference between him as an artist is completely separate as him as a pastor. Can you separate those two?
Doc, that's a rough question.
Yeah, can that's you? A hard one.
Let Dr. Charlotte.
I mean, here's the thing. We don't talk about artists in that like amazed, like, because that would be more about the, you know, really
his personal.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's, you know, I was trying to get Mace up here because I think we all were confused with Mace, you know. And what Mace did was when he gave up hip hop and he gave his life to God, I thought it was amazing, you know. And I thought, hey, if he speaks, and
well, you
he
thought it better, was sincere.
I thought it was sincere. I thought it would be great because Mace was somebody that the kids looked up to, and if he could preach the good word, that's always great. It's always great when somebody from our community can do something good and help somebody else, no matter whether it's church, build communities, whatever it is. And then when he came back talking about ping, ping, shooting guns, you're like, whoa, like this is...
You can't go from Pastor Mace to Murder Mace.
That's where it gets confusing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and that's a struggle that he's going to have to learn to deal with. You know what I'm saying? And that's his personal struggle. But I don't think it's reflective of either hip-hop or religion nowadays. I think that the Pastor Mace and Betha is an anomaly unto itself.
And life is a struggle, right? You're constantly moving between these. Right. Life is a struggle. The difficulty for me is, why do you have to give up hip-hop to be a part of the church, right? That if the church is really about the business of making life whole, right, kind of addressing the spiritual issues that you have, then you shouldn't have to give this up.
You
the question
to,
becomes,
you
how
don't.
Do you...
I'm no, you don't. I don't believe that.
You can't be a reverend and talk about shooting and selling...
But see, but you're making the assumption that that's what hip-hop culture is.
You're saying
gun culture and hip-hop are synonymous and that you can't separate them.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying in Mace's situation.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Specific to Mace. Okay,
sorry. Continue to talk about shooting guns and continue to talk about threesomes and continue to talk about a lot of those things when you say you gave it up. That's what confused me.
But then church, they're just doing it, not talking about it, right? So there are ways in which churches kill people, right? If you think about it, black churches are composed of at least 70% black women. But if you think in terms of leadership opportunities, how black women are discussed within context of churches, they're silenced. In a certain way, they're killed. And don't be gay or lesbian in a black church, right? The only way you can survive in that is if you're a musician or you sit and you eat the disrespect. Right, so churches are doing something that is deeply harmful, but simply just pointing a finger.
When it comes to vulgarity, because I think that's the main thing with hip hop that would probably turn off some religious folks. Because I call Jeezy Pastor Young because I feel like he be spitting ghetto gospel. But
I use vulgarity, but I think some people just cuss too much. Because for the sake of cussing.
Right. How do you get religious folks to look past the vulgarity to actually listen to what he's saying? It's a message in it. That could be used for spiritual purposes.
Well, I think we have to give a deeper understanding of what hip-hop culture is, and we have to do a better job of explaining ourselves to the world and our struggles to the world. And, you know, if people can't take the time to sit and dissect through it, then maybe it's not for them. You know, I'm not here to sell religious people on hip-hop, and I wouldn't buy into any religion that somebody was trying to sell me. You know, I just speak to my personal struggle, and I make my choices, and, you know, what happens, and I'm aware of it, and I'm ready to deal with it, you know, but... I'm not here to sell hip. And what we do in this class is not selling hip hop to religion. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think we should have to. I think we're brothers in the struggle. You know, and if you look at our black communities, that's, you know, it's really divided between that hip hop culture and the religion. But we're all growing up, and we're all living in the same conditions in the same community. So we have to find similarities, because when we go into these inner cities of America, the only people that care about those people are the hip hop people in the church.
How many times have you had to explain, and like what you said just now with Envy, that hip-hop culture is not gun culture. It's not drug culture.
I mean, because the problem is that the perception of hip-hop, right, is a lot more than what hip-hop is, right? So, you know, everybody assumes that hip-hop is much worse than it actually is. Everybody believes that these guys are bigger criminals and that we're, you know, bigger threats to society than we really are. And the problem is that we've sold that. Through rap music for a while, you know, through these major labels. That's what they've done. So the main music that's promoted and marketed as hip-hop culture is not what anybody would really want to represent them. You know, you know, when we go to the club on Saturday night and we dance in the club, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not who we are. That's really just a break and a release to get away from who we have to be, usually 5 days a week from 9 to 5, right? So there's no reason for us to start trying to throw rocks at the other side, because, you know, we're culpable for some things in hip hop the same way that religion is culpable for some things. But if we're just going to sit across from each other and think about the negative things, that we're not going to get anywhere, you know. So we have to start looking at the similarities and the different ways in which we can work together to get to the same place, because I truly believe hip hop culture and religion culture is trying to do the same thing, help people deal with life.
Now, do you guys address marriage in this course? Because one thing I've always admired about you, Bumby, is You have such a strong union with your wife, and you've always been proud to be married and brought your wife with you everywhere. It's not something you try to hide.
Right.
You know, so is that something that you guys address as well?
Marriage? No, I don't think we really talk about
that. That hasn't been part of the conversation.
That's just stuff I be doing on the side.
That is online course. How can people get involved with the online course? How can they get in part of it if they're not from Houston or you know, from Idaho?
That's the beautiful thing about this course. Mm-hmm. It's available free online to anyone in the world. Basically, mm-hmm. all you need is an internet connection and, you know, a laptop or an iPad or some mm-hmm. kind of tablet, and you should be able to take this course in full. It's going to be available on March 24th. Mm-hmm. 24th, excuse me. So you go to www.edx.org. Mm-hmm. You look up religion and hip hop. The actual title of the course is Reli 157X, R-E-L-I 157X, and you can take it for free. Now, there's a certificate, a certification that you can get if you want for a small fee to show that you actually did everything you needed to do in the course. You completed the full 6 weeks of work, and that's signed by Doc and myself. And it's something that is not accredited yet, but hopefully as we get further and further in this thing, it could be something that you could actually be accredited for.
Now, I want to ask both of you, because, you know, this course is helping people grow. Do you think you're allowed to grow in hip-hop?
I think you're supposed to grow in hip-hop, mm-hmm. you know. I think that's the problem, is that, you know, for one, the perception within the culture is that it's a young man's game, you know, but I don't think anything could be further from the truth. I've been listening to hip-hop, you know, for, you know, over 35 years now. You know, I've been listening since I was a kid, mm-hmm. and I've been practicing hip-hop for over 20 years now. So the people that started with me when I was 18 were somewhere between 16 and 25. Well, those people now are somewhere between 37 and 45. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I want to make sure that I'm still relatable to them in a real way. Like, the way that they choose to have fun in the confines of where they construct their family is kind of the same way that I do. Like, I'm going to go out and have a good time and do what I want to do in terms of having fun or whatever. But after I've made sure home is good, the wife is good, the kids is good, the responsibilities are done. And I think a lot of people do that. You know, we're not, just because we're getting older doesn't mean we're getting old, right. You know, and I'm trying to make that relatable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a 50-year-old fan. So
you 50, Doc?
50.
You don't look 50 at all, bro.
I appreciate that.
I mean, I don't know what 50 look like, but you don't look like 50.
But growth is part of the process, it seems to me. It, mm-hmm. it has to happen. And that's part of the issue with churches, mm-hmm. that they can say all of this, they can resist it, try to act holier than thou, but the bottom line is they change or they die. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to reach young people, they have to answer the questions young people are asking mm-hmm. in a language that makes sense to them. And hip-hop, it seems to me, is the way. Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, I want to ask some just regular hip-hop questions to Bun B, because, you know.
Here we go.
You are the OG, and there's been a lot of things going on. You know what I'm saying? Diddy and Drake got into it, and Jay Prince did his courtesy call. Like, have you made any calls to try to simmer all that down?
I don't have to make no calls. Whatever's going on with that ain't got nothing to do with me. Mm. I'm a free agent. I'm down with Rap-A-Lot for life, but I'm not signing Rap-A-Lot. So it's like, Jay Prince is on, man. He's a big boy. I'm pretty sure he don't need my help. With none of this.
But it could get nasty. And before it gets down that lane, you might want to make a courtesy call. Because you remember how when Ray J came on the radio, he said only Clue could fix this? Maybe only Bun B could fix this.
No, I think other people need to make courtesy calls. I don't need to make a courtesy call to anybody. These are all grown men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've been down this road before. I believe everybody involved in this situation has been down this road before. So,
except for Drake.
Well, he's down this road now, so.
And these issues have nothing to do with you.
So. Yeah, they got nothing to do with me. So, but I honestly feel that, you know, wiser minds will prevail. I don't expect this to get physical or ugly or anything. I think mm-hmm. everybody involved in the situation is going to do what they need to do to rectify the situation, and life and music will go on.
Do you sit back sometimes and like, look at this book? This is why I be home.
No. I'll be home because I got grandkids now. And there are a lot of days that I miss with my kids going out on the road making money during my career. So these are the things that I'm trying to, you know, I can't necessarily make up for them, but I want to make sure that I don't miss these moments, right. You know.
And you know, 3,000 people.
And then I'm a free agent, so I'm not involved in all of that right now.
Would you want to sign again to a major?
No.
Independent all the way.
I think so. I think that's the way for me because. The system can't benefit me in any way. Who can A&R Bun B record better than he can?
No, but they can't A&R, but you can use their money. And the reason I say that
they ain't got no money.
No, but Bun put out a record that I love, right, a couple months ago, Triller. And I felt like if it was on a major, it would have reached to where it needed to reach.
Well, obviously, major's going to have more resources than mm-hmm. the independent, but that doesn't mean that. That's all defined by expectations. Like, right. How far do I expect this record to go? What do I expect this record to do? As long as I have realistic expectations, I'll be all right.
and you got a fan base. Like, if you were signed to a label, I'm sure 9 times out of 10, I would click on a link that you tweeted out from your personal SoundCloud, right, and I would a blast from a record label email.
Well, at this point, I'm not really feeling like I need to work for people. If anything, I'm willing to work with people.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, there you have it. Bun B. Professor Anthony Penn. Now tell them again the website so they could log on for this online course.
It's www.edx.org, O-R-G. Look up Religion and Hip Hop, mm-hmm, or specifically Rally 157X. Shouldn't be hard to find.
March 24th, you said?
That's
March
the start 24th. Date.
All right.
Do we got to pay?
It's no, free. It's free.
No, it's free.
Oh, okay.
Free 99.
You were so cute,
Charlamagne. I thought to myself, I'm going to take this course. And I was like, hold up, is it free?
If you want the certificate, there's a small fee.
Yeah.
To prove that you completed the course. But okay, if not.
Because you ain't going to just free. Be telling me you just did
free
it.
Free 99.
It's the Breakfast Club. It's Bun B, Professor Anthony Penn.